Okay, we're good. Don't know my wind missing. Couldn't think of mine off since last night. Ready, Sylvia? You ready?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Good. Good morning. Call this meeting to order. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Operano,
Here.
Commissioner Salgado,
Here.
Commissioner Amara Queen,
Present.
and we also have in the House Commissioner Tagg,
Here.
Commissioner Llewellyn, and Hawk are absent, and
Price.
Price.
Okay. Thank you very much. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Tag, why don't you lead us on this one?
Sure, shrine of your heart. Ready to begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Move on to public comments. Did we get any public comments via email, text, pigeon?
No.
Nothing? Am I right? None in the audience? With that, we'll move on to consent items. Everybody get a chance to read the minutes for November 20th. Did I would definitely entertain a motion to approve that.
Move approve.
That a motion?
Was that a motion, David?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, second.
Second. All right. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Amparano,
Yes.
Commissioner Salgado,
Yes.
Commissioner Mara Queen.
Yes.
Thank you. With three, that passes. We'll move on to executive officer announcements.
Thank you, Chair. Well, I have a whole bunch, but I was hoping for a full house, kind of a.
You want to let's move that to the let's move that to under seven,
Okay.
and then we'll actually move on to discussion items.
Okay.
And this gives us more time, so we'll start with discussion action A, resolution number 2026, designating the commission chair as a primary voting delegate and executive officer as the alternate voting delegate for the CalAFCO business.
Thank you, Chair. This item before you today is brought to you to help cut down on what I believe to be some unnecessary red tape and to streamline how we handle our business with CalAFCO. Commissioner Tagg, that is the California Association of Local Agency Formation Commission. It's our state association. Their bylaws require us to have a designated voting delegate and an alternate for every business meeting, whether it's the annual conference or regional meeting, or even sometimes we do mail-in ballots. Historically, we've always brought that every time there's an item to vote for before you to get our voting delegate represented. So I'm proposing to fix this once for all with a standing resolution. I'd like to, instead of naming specific people, designate the titles of the office. And specifically, the chair of the commission would serve as the primary voting delegate, and the executive officer would serve as the alternate voting delegate, because that's part of my job to attend all those functions anyway. So I would be there in case something came up with one the chair. As leadership rotates or staff changes, the voting authority automatically transfers to the new person in that seat. And this wouldn't be brought back to the board unless there's a request to change the policy. With that, I'd recommend approving of the resolution designating the seats.
Okay, any questions on this? Think it's pretty cut and dry.
It's no different than when we designate delegates when we go to Cal City,
right?
And so on.
Same thing.
And actually, you know what? I think this is better. You know, the positions and the person.
And the person, yeah. So is that a motion?
Yeah, it's a motion.
All right, got a motion.
Second.
Second. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Amparano.
Yes.
Commissioner Salgado.
Yes.
Commissioner Mara Queen.
Yes.
With that, three votes, we pass. Thank you very much. Look forward to that. Next, we got update on CalAFCO governance and region restructuring and direction for voting delegate.
Okay. This is for the February 23rd. It's a virtual meeting of the General Assembly. It's an update on ongoing governance restructuring efforts at CalAFCO. As you know, I've been serving on the regional and board structure working group representing the Southern region to help modernize the association's leadership structure. In the last year or two, there's been some issues with leadership on the board level that has actually resulted in, I think at this point, about 9 LAFCOs to leave the association. So back in December, our working group released a comprehensive proposal that included a new 9 region map and changes to the board eligibility. We requested feedback from all the LAFCO EOs statewide. And by the January 10th deadline, the response was pretty clear. There is a consensus for the for board support for the governance changes, specifically eliminating the seat types and allowing executive officers to serve on board. Seat types means on the board there was always a city member, a public member, county member, special district member from each region on the board. This would eliminate that and allow EOs to run as one of those seats. By region, there would be just, right now as it stands, two seats, and all the region would decide who wants to run regardless of seat type. In the past, some of the regions were having problems filling all those different seat types due to lack of participation, and so somebody would just get appointed to it and there wouldn't be much participation. On the other hand, the proposed map, we received significant pushback. Nearly half of the respondents expressed concerns, particularly up north in the northern regions. Because of the mixed feedback, the working group met last week and we decided to split the proposal. So we're not going to ask for a vote on the new map or regional lines at this time at the end of February. We've tabled that for more discussion to allow for more input and maybe some refinement on it. Instead, for the special business meeting on the 23rd, it's virtual meeting, by the way, we'll be voting on only one item, and that would be to eliminate the board seat types and allow executive officers to serve on the commission if they were elected by the region. In the February meeting, we'll also include an informational update on the map, but no action will be requested on the map at this time. And all the commissioners can, since it's virtual, if you have the time, you could listen in, comment, what have you, and hear what's all going on as far as the restructurings.
On the 23rd, correct?
On the 23rd, yes. In the packet is the time. I don't recall it offhand, but yeah. Do you, Lori?
But I was just going to say, I don't know if we have the invite yet, but once we get it, we'll send it to everybody.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's not on that. I thought there was a link on one. Anyway, we'll get it to you. Okay, so my recommendation is for the commission to designate the voting delegate for the 23rd virtual meeting to vote yes on these two amendments. Questions, comments?
I'm just for understanding. So Cal LAFCO is an association of all the LAFCOs in the state, but it is not a requirement of the LAFCOs in the state to be a part of that association.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope. It's if you feel like you're getting your money's worth, you're part of it. If not,
in your, just again, just I'm curious, like, is it, has it been useful
for me in particular? Because I'm new to it, and there's an EO listserv. If you got the EOs, all pretty much for the most part get along great. This is more at the commissioner level. There's personalities conflicts, and the board was dysfunctional. I was there long enough to see that.
Okay.
But yeah, the EO listserv is great. You got a question, hey, how do you handle this? You get 20 responses.
Understood.
You know, so for me, yes, personally, it's been beneficial.
This is kind of normal that happens within some of these seats like this, that personalities clash, people don't get along, or you know what, everything's going great and I don't win that next election.
Okay, I get you.
Changes, absolutely.
I get you. Sure.
And that was one of the comments I brought up is we're changing potentially the regions, and because one of the reasons was board dysfunction, and I'm like, well, we could get a brand new board and down the road there'll be dysfunction again. It's just, but for the southern folks, that's the 4 regions currently, the southern folks there, we all like, well, we don't particularly need a change, but if the changes that are being proposed right now, the Southern folks didn't have a problem with how the Southern sections is, would be looking moving forward. So that's the old one. Lori, if you want to move to the next slide. That was proposed right now to 9 regions and 2. Some of the regions, the smaller populated ones, would only have 1 voting delegate, and most of the others would have 2. But that's what we got feedback on, and there wasn't a consensus that we could move forward with this map at this time.
Cool. So this is the new proposed map
that we will not be voting on.
Correct.
Yeah, there's going to be some changes.
Just to be clear, Tyler, in the previous map, it was 4 regions, and there were an abundant amount of representatives per region.
Yeah.
Based off of the
One of the comments was the board was too big because there's 4 seats per region.
This new map would propose 2 reps per district.
And at large seat as opposed to a county versus a city seat.
Right.
First off, I just want to apologize to staff and the commissioners for showing up late. There was a crash on the 111.
Oof.
And so being stuck behind a bunch of semis and a crash isn't fun. So I apologize.
No worries. I
did have the chance to look at this last night. So you had mentioned we're not voting on this.
On the map part, no.
Okay. Just because I think as a region, we've constantly been underserved in terms of our representation from DC and Sacramento. And so LAFCO is a huge agency where we could essentially push what we need to do at the state level. So going from 4 to 9 districts, I think, may be beneficial. Doesn't make sense. We have places like the Sacramento Valley who have half the population we do, yet they get the same amount of representation. I think that was absolutely ridiculous to have places. Let's see. Yeah, they have 2.3 million. We have 4.9, so over double.
Yeah.
And going from, I believe it's 20 to 16 commissioners, correct?
Currently, that as this map is proposed, there could be changes, but yeah.
Yes. So as it is right now, I know we're not voting on the map, but the composition of the board, it just doesn't make sense to me, in my opinion. It seems like Sacramento is just pushing for another power grab. Like they're breaking up their districts even smaller just so that they can get the same amount of representation, if not more. And what the state needs right now, what LAFCO needs right now, isn't another Sacramento power grab. It's the delegation of responsibilities to areas like ours who've been constantly underserved. And because of that, the way the map is, the representation's allocated, the way the board composition is currently, I think Imperial, regardless of the fact that our chair can now be a representative and our executive officer can be the alternate, I'm supportive of that. But every other factor of this change, I'm completely in opposition of.
Those, if I may, those are that only pertains to the general, with that, where all the LAFCOs get to vote.
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah. So as it regards to the Southern region, Commissioner Tagg, to fill you in, bring up date a little bit more. The current Southern region, there were 6 in our region. 4 of those LAFCOs are part of the group that left. Orange, LA, San Diego, and San Bernardino. So I met with those folks, just us, the ones that are left, and myself on this map and when things going on. And in general, like I had stated, the Southern region was, in general, we're like, hey, we were getting along great. We worked well together. We don't have a problem with it. But if we're moving down the direction where they do have a problem with the seats, specific seat vote, and they were very adamant about EOs being able to run if they wanted to run against their commissioners, which I think is another issue in itself. But we were all in agreement that this map was okay in the sense that, hey, even though we're split up, it does give us, we have a voting block, yeah, as in general, and versus they didn't have quite concerns about the map in particular. So I just want that out there for information.
So is kind of a purpose of this to try and figure out a way to get some of those folks that left back?
Yes.
And are they willing given what's been proposed?
In varying degrees.
Understood.
From, yeah, we could be back in July to there. Nope, not until you get rid of those couple of board members.
I've just one other question, just curious your opinions because of the time you've put into this.
Sure.
I know that it's county specific, but like, you know, Riverside and you know, the western sides of Riverside and San Bernardino County in particular have huge populations. And since there's two board members per region, I mean, how do you feel about like the representation between the four counties having representation regularly? I understand that they evolve of some kind, but is there any concern whatsoever
about the current map or
no, this proposed one and just making sure that you have a voice in the situation?
Oh yeah. Well, Inyo basically is non-existent. They don't participate. Right. As I said, the original six, we would all meet quarterly, discuss okay. issues, continue the same. And that's not the, we could probably, I anticipate that if this were the map that was approved, the South Coast and Inland would still be meeting regularly together to okay. discuss issues. There's a million different ways to try to divide regions up. We looked at CSDA. We looked at the League of Cities. We looked at all types of these. You know, there's always going to be populations, rural versus urban. But if we just did, as an example, in a region of just rural counties, well, there's so much yeah. distance between everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, the association is what we deal with the state is legislatively, mostly about, hey, you're putting in laws that could affect LAFCO. We want a voice in there as a state. And, you know, the city and county folks here that deal with the assembly much more than I have
yeah.
probably I'm making the assumption that, hey, association would be stronger than say, hey, if Tyler just goes talk to him. Right. Yeah. So, I'm not so sure about, if this is going to be the final. So, Mr. Llewellyn, before you walked in, I said on the February 23rd meeting, it's a virtual meeting and they're going to discuss this in an informational piece on the map. Yeah. Feel free to join. Lori will send out the link and anybody can participate. We just won't be voting on that piece of it. So, and again, we did not have a consensus from the responses we got that we felt we could even bring the map forward at this point.
Well, not perfect. You guys are doing great yeah. work, but I think there's a lot
good more that it's not approved, huh?
Exactly. No, I think
it would have to be approved by the General Assembly, everybody. So,
With the South Coast, I know Commissioner Tagg asked something similar where essentially the goal is to unify the state, bring everyone back to the drawing board and have these discussions. The South Coast, if I'm being honest, I was paying more attention to the new districts near and around Sacramento. I didn't even pay attention to the fact that South Coast has almost 17 million people. So because of that, my question to you, since you were a part of these negotiations, was the South Coast formed, of course, because of the population, but to have these counties join the district? I know that's something similar to what Commissioner Tagg stated, but are we creating their own district to appease them, to have them?
I would say no, because they didn't have an issue with the Southern region as it was structured currently.
Okay. And that's yeah. the three, LA, Orange, and yeah. San Diego?
Those three, none of them are even in there. So, but we're drawing the map as if all 58 counties belong to the association.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the issues, because I'm sure LA's not watching her. But LA was like, oh, you know what? We may be able to join in July, you know, if this is the way things are going, we're seeing it looking good. But they have a question like, well, we'd be the only one. Do we get both seats? And, you know, that's going to be a pushback
yeah.
because, you know, so it's almost like umpiring. You're going to make half the people mad at you, no yeah. matter what you do. But we're trying to get what's the best path moving forward. Yeah. There was a general consensus that maybe four regions weren't enough because of travel time and number of yeah. counties in one region. Some of them feeling like they're maybe being overpowered by the more vocal, more involved folks. But as I said, more to come on the map part of it. I would say this, a lot of our internal discussions are of the working group are pretty interesting. there's, of course, there's 12 of us, so you get 12 different opinions sometimes. But I was always, from my perspective, for what LAFCO's duties are and what we are oversee and do, population is not something that factors in much. Huh. So it's not. And I'm like, so when people argue, well, you got this, this has got all this population. So what? It's not what we weigh in on. No. Those type of things. So that's my perspective from it. And I made that clear to them. I'm like, look at why, who cares? When I'm reviewing an MSR SAP or an annexation, I'm not worried about overall, how does it pop, you know, how is that population is affected? Yes, but not what is the population necessarily. So, and again, when it comes to most everything else in the relation to the state, yeah, we're getting drowned out. But yes. But for what LAFCO business is, I'm not sure how population would play in, is my perspective.
David, do you have
the districts, are they, the district seats, are they voted on every year at the annual conference, or are there term limits on them?
They're usually the region, each region handles it different, but historically the southern region would have a meeting to see who wanted to run and try to flush that out. So by the time the General Assembly hits in October, the southern region usually knew who was wanting to run, and we took the official vote.
It turns over every year then, or yep. possibly
it's every possible. Year. Yep. Yep.
Are there term limits?
No, I think
who's popularity?
Commissioner County Kelly. He was on there for a lot of years on the board. Yeah.
I mean, the only thing I see that's positive is, like I said, we were the central region. They had, 14 votes at one time, as you were saying? Now they only get two. So that's the positive. You start taking that away. But
And they split the Bay Area into correct. Two. That was for the long-term southern folks. They really liked that for some reason. It's
– well.
Even at the EO level, it comes about personalities, and I'm like, dude, come on, you know. But
so, do we need a vote on this? What do we need?
We need action on how you will be voting for on those two items about removing the seats and making EOs eligible to run for the board.
Okay.
Does that need to? Do we need to direct the chair? I would be more than willing to have the chair vote this conscience. Well, going forward, I don't think we should be delegating.
From my perspective, I think since it's Imperial LAFCO voting, they should have the consensus of the commission.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how I've always handled it. But of course, I'm here at your discretion.
You know, they would be representing the entire
group. Yeah.
You know, so that's why I think it would be a consensus.
What's the sentiment around EOs being?
That's vast majority. Love that these changes.
I think it's a positive change, actually, if you ask me. You know, if for some reason one of us can't make it, we got Tyler as a voter. So, with that, get to it.
So,
where's your recommendation, Tyler?
Recommendation is to let me find my notes again so I don't miss quote to you. Okay. My recommendation is for the commission to designate the voting delegate to vote yes on the amendments of eliminating the board seat types and allowing executive officers to serve on the board.
So moved.
I have a question, okay, because we had already taken action before you got here, so okay. I was filling in. So
no, we have not. Yes.
Can I step aside?
Yeah, now, I believe now that the regular member here, you step in.
Okay.
Yes.
All righty.
Yeah, sorry we're taking your vote away on this one.
Sorry.
Is my other vote no?
Yeah.
Just kidding.
No, yeah.
Okay.
Second the motion.
So that's got a first and a second. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Amparano?
Yes.
Commissioner Salgado?
Yes.
Commissioner Llewellyn?
Yes.
Thank you. With that, motion passes. Looking forward to a positive change there.
And we'll send out that link to all commissioners so they can participate if they want.
Okay. Moving on to semi-annual investment report.
All right.
December 31st.
Thank you. Okay. Item 7C is the semi-investment report for the period ending December 31st. As those of you that were here, we adopted a policy last year for investments, an investment policy, and one of those items in the policy was for the EO to report out on a semi-annual basis in January and July. So this is the first one. So at the end of the year, our total portfolio balance is $1.13 million. For the six-month period, the portfolio generated roughly about $18,900 in earnings, interest earnings. We have sufficient cash flow to cover operations for the next 6 months. Currently, we're split roughly 50-50 between liquid cash, that's in our money market and checking accounts, and fixed income, negotiable certificates of deposits or CDs. The money market account is currently yielding 3.77% as of December. The CDs are locked in anywhere from between 4.18% and 4.39%. There is one item I wanted to draw your attention to on the compliance section of the report. Under our policy and the state law, we have a 30% cap on of our total investment portfolio that could be invested in negotiable CDs. Right now, because of the timing of our purchases last July, we're holding about 50% of our portfolios in CDs, which puts us over that specific limit, technically out of our investment policy guidelines. The fix, what I'm not recommending is we not to sell these early to fix the percentage today, but as we sell, as they mature, sure. The prudent move is to hold them. We have one maturing in January, one in April, and one in July. And then as those drop off, we'll naturally fall back under the 30% limit. With those, I think I'll be concentrating because of our balances is it starts out high when we collect everybody's money, then it continually drops. So that's where we have to keep a tighter eye than I did at the city on the 30% for negotiable CDs. But treasuries pay relatively about the same amount now. So I'll probably be moving that money into treasuries to get that near 4% interest rate from anywhere from a month to 6 month treasury bonds. That's the plan moving forward. So basically this is a receive and file report. I'm open to any questions. And moving forward, if as long as we're in compliance, it'd probably be just under consent. Yeah. But this time that we weren't, I wanted to make sure I put that on the regular business to make everybody aware. So questions?
Looking forward to making more money.
We're doing
it. Just, again, outside of salaries and stuff, what expenses does this commission incur?
We have rents. Salaries are the biggest ones. Yeah. We have office supplies, consulting fees, legal fees, just a regular operating business. We actually own our own building. We have utilities that go with that, repairs. I'll tell you what else am I missing, bigger ones. That's it. Salaries and taxes are usually the highest.
Technology.
Yeah. IT, yeah.
Dollars generated from the county and the cities.
Yes, the annual
fees.
Contribution.
Contribution.
Yeah. Yeah. It's 50% of the city's pay. Of our budget, 50% comes from the seven cities and 50% from the counties.
We'll get a nice breakdown come March, April when we do the budget.
I'll have in my EO report.
It'll. Right. Any questions on this? All right. Thank you very much for that. We did things a little different, so we'll now move on to our executive officer announcements.
Yes, thank you for pushing that back. So now I have another set of ears. I'm in this report, I'd like to go over some of our heavy lifts for 2026 and our to-do lists, what we have coming, future attractions, if you will. So there's, I have multiple items, some of them fairly interesting, some of them maybe not quite so interesting to the commission, but I'm gonna start off with a big one, IVHD, Imperial Valley Healthcare District. You know, there's been a lot of time and resources spent on the formation of IVHD and the dissolution of the other two, the legal formation setup, if you were, well, opinion here. Well, they took LAFCO out of the process, but regardless, that's done. But for us at LAFCO, the hard work and heavy lifting is just, it's continuing, and it's going to be some heavy lifts. There are, we have three specific jobs this year that were in the law, AB 918 and SB 1070, that require us to knock out this year. The first one being the funding election. The district is headed towards a tax measure vote this November. This law says that the funding plan has to be backed by the financial feasibility studies from the Kaufman Hall and Imperial County LAFCO. This means we have to check their numbers before this goes to ballot. So we need to make sure our review is solid and timely, so we're not holding up the process and not commenting after the fact. To this point, I reached out a while ago. Basically, it was crickets about, hey, you know, the bill says this. I'm not trying to step on any toes, but hey.
Reach out to who?
The board president.
Of
the attorney. IVHD. Yeah. And so I guess what I'm saying is moving forward, I'm going to be a little bit more forceful. I know it could be a political issue. I want to make the commission aware. Also, there's an annual report that the law requires the district to report to me specifically for 24 and 25. It's about how actually they're providing the healthcare services financially, et cetera. I need to see the 2025 report ASAP. You know, we can't effectively review their services or approve the plans if we don't have the data in front of us. So I'll be reaching out, pressing on that too. Lastly, the big thing is the municipal service review, or the service area plan, as Imperial calls it, the rest of the LAFCO world calls it municipal service review. That is in the law that we have to have one done by the end of this year, December 31st. For IVHD specifically. And really, that should be done before you even form a district. But anyway, so I can't wait for the fall. You know, it's a massive district that provide very complicated healthcare services, and they're extremely complicated when it comes to funding and fiscally speaking. So there's a lot there, Mr. Attorney. So what I'm going to, the game plan for me is I'm going to be issuing an RFP so we can get a consultant on board, healthcare related, to help with the service review. And we need to get that ball rolling, and so we're not scrambling later. So that's one of the heavy lifts.
Is that coming next month?
The RFP? I have to put the RFP out, acquire responses, and then I bring that to you.
Okay. So we're going to start.
Yeah.
Hopefully by next month, yeah, we can see something.
Yeah, time of us is of the essence when it comes to this November is just around the corner for a vote. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
How you doing? Okay, so that's IVHD. The data center. Yes.
Going back to IVHD, you know.
I'm sorry. Any questions? Interrupt, please.
Because I'm sitting here thinking, you know, the merger is not finalized yet. You know, it's the second. We don't anticipate that happening until probably March. So maybe that's why you're getting crickets from them, because nothing has, you know, it has not been finalized. And until then, you know, it's just like, you know, I'm not making excuses, you know, but, you know, it's just timing.
Okay. Thank you for that. I still think that they need to communicate with LAFCO.
Yeah.
More moving forward.
Yeah.
It's something that we can't wait on because it's in the law. I don't like the law, but it's in the law. It says we have to do this.
Yeah.
And it's like, so, I mean, I think, you know, by this point, I'm not the type of EO that wants, you know, I'm the bad guy, I'm the sheriff. I want to be collaborative, but this is getting timeline. I'm getting nervous. So, and I know it's a very political issue, just like the next item I'm going to talk about, but so I, you know, you may be getting calls saying, hey, what's wrong with your EO over there? So
that's my calls.
Okay.
With having to be more aggressive, especially because we're on the timeline. You know,
she was on the other foot, they'd be doing the same thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh yeah.
We're beholden to the law and it's gonna come back to you, Tyler, and us. So
yeah.
I just wanted to make that comment only.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm concerned about the deadlines.
Yeah,
the November deadline in particular.
Very so, interesting.
Yeah. And with any of these, feel free to ask questions. I'm just giving a future attraction type thing.
There's an IBHD meeting this evening.
Yeah. Okay, so item number two, the little project of the data center. I've been fielding lots of calls from all over cities, certain county department heads, developers, wanting to know where LAFCO stands and where LAFCO is going to weigh in on this. My response currently is I don't have a stance yet because it's not a LAFCO matter the way it sits now, where the proposal of extending services for wastewater, recycled wastewater to the project. LAFCO, the law, CKH law has a specific carve out says LAFCO does not have authority to weigh in on that. Now, if it involves extension of service for water or something else from either the city of Imperial or city of El Central, then LAFCO gets involved. And we would have to weigh in on whether we're going to approve that. So as it stands right now, I've been not attending all the fund meetings, but listening in on them to just in case we may have to be involved. But as it stands now, LAFCO would not be weighing in on the issue. Any questions on that?
Any type of agreement would require both entities to bring county and whichever service provider.
Nope. No. If it's wastewater, no. If it's any other type of service that that agency provides and it's outside of their boundaries, then yes.
Similar to the HPUD.
Yeah, but power, it wouldn't be power because that's in the IID's. But
right.
But it would be either water or sewer. Yeah.
But we would have to have.
Yes, that would come to LAFCO for. Yes. Right. Correct. Okay, moving on. Westmoreland. How do I put this? We have discovered multiple boundary discrepancies with the Westmoreland map. We met with the city manager and their consultant to discuss these. We're working with the assessor's officer. Let me rephrase that. We have requested information from the county assessor's office. We're still pending information back from that to try to solve some of these boundary issues. In particular, there's one that's got my interest. I'm really concerned about is that the school district, the city of Westmoreland, believes that it's in their city boundaries, and we're not finding any records that it was annexed in. So. We're working on that. We reached out to the State Board of Equalization, assessors, city's going through the records. So more to come on that. While I was talking with the city manager, we talked about the service area plan. She said that she received a quote from a consultant locally, and it was $80,000 to do their service area plan update. And as you can imagine, that's a very big piece of meat to swallow for CalPAT. So But that is going to have to be redone. So
Westmoreland.
Westmoreland. Did I say CalPat?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry. But it's going to be a big bite for you guys too. But yeah, for Westmoreland. Questions on that?
Okay. Let me ask a question. I know that they said they went to a local consultant here. Is there another? Is there others out there that can that we know of that can help them?
Oh yeah, there's lots of folks that do SAPs. Brawley's using a different consultant than the local one. Al Central used. I don't remember who they used. And Imperial. Yeah, there's multiples.
And there are quite a few that are needing updates. Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, and I have some of those covered on my list too as we go through.
Yeah,
but maybe that would be up to the cities. Yeah, and getting them to agree on everything. No, just kidding. Yeah. I know we tried something similar as it related to master tax sharing agreement when I was with the city, all the seven cities and actually Yerg and the county, and ended up being like, nope, doesn't fit for CalPAT. Nope, that's El Central needs, you know, it's hard to.
Going back to what you had mentioned about Westmoreland and the school district, can you clarify? So their district would be outside the boundaries
as the from what we can see now, we don't have any documentation that it was annexed into the city.
There are some tax sharing. I mean, there's revenues.
That's why I'm trying to get information from the assessor's office. Okay. Where's it been going and what, you know? Yeah, yeah.
Well, no wonder Westmoreland's had a nice big raises on their teachers and stuff like that,
right?
Yeah. Getting money from somebody else.
Yeah, but as far as the district, they get their money funding separately than the city would. I mean, yeah. Same pool, but not directly from the city.
Tyler, I have a question with regard to the assessor specifically, and I understand mistakes happen, but how do the, and they're not, two of them aren't here, but what is the supervisor's view of these kinds of oopsie doopsies with the assessor?
This would not be an error by the assessors. It's more of, from my perspective, I'm waiting for a response to see where this money going. The process is when there's an annexation, we record it, and then there's a process for the assessors to be made aware of it and to adjust it, and the state as well too. Okay. So it's not necessarily an error by the assessors. They're only send the money where they're told to.
Yeah.
So the question now is, was it annexed and not filed? Was it ever filed and the records went somewhere in the black hole, or did it was not ever annexed?
That's to the paper sit on.
Yeah.
Has the assessor's office been fairly cooperative?
We're still waiting for a response. We're still waiting for the information. Yeah.
How did this issue surface?
Well, we're going through reviewing. Lori's going through one by one all the cities, all the districts, and getting ready for to bring all that stuff to you. And as we go, we encounter something that doesn't make sense and we start asking questions. So
I think SCAG's working on a downtown overlay project with the city of Westmoreland at the moment as well. We're funding it through REAP. So they may
yeah, you jogged my memory a little bit. As it relates to Westmoreland, they're looking for some grant funding and they had asked us questions and I'm like, ooh, well, Lori said, hey, we got a problem here. So, so that's that in particular, but she's reviewing a lot of maps and a lot of, she's gathering the financial information for Julie and I to start reviewing all the districts, all the cities as we move forward.
And that's how a lot of things happen. Somebody asks a question, hold on, let me go look. And then now it's like Pandora's box. You open up and you don't know what you're going to find.
Yeah. Keep it closed.
Yeah.
So that's my motto.
Yeah.
So more to come that. Okay. The city of Brawley, we have two pending annexation applications with LAFCO does. One is for the Rancho Los Lagos. It's a huge proposed development that would south of Walmart generally. And then Rio Vista, that's down by the Pat Williams Park for market rate apartments complex. I met with the city manager. We went over the process, talked about the need for an updated SAP. They're working on that, and also a tax sharing agreement. And those are some items that would be needed. We would, for as far as LAFCO perspective, we would bring the SAP for you to review, but the annexations and either annexation can move forward till I have a tax sharing agreement. So I also met with the city and the developers consultant on Ranchos Los Lagos. They're finalizing the specific area plan, the environmental studies, and all those fun documents to read. That's why I had to go to the eye doctor yesterday. My prescription keeps getting worse, but you know those damn things. both should be coming, all those documents should be coming. I'm hoping around March and April for my first initial comments back before it comes for review for the commission. Nyland County service area number one, that is a dependent county service area, falls under the county umbrella. That's the first of three we should be getting from the county. We received that from the County Public Works on the 5th. So we're reviewing that. However, staff found some boundary discrepancies with that. So that's one of the issues. Well, the SAP will have to be go back just to fix the map or make sure we agree on the map. But we're reviewing that, and I'll submit all my comments to them to bring that back for approval. That service area, that's for street lighting service in Island. That's what that CSA does. Heber Public Utility District, we also have two annexations received, not complete, but two applications open for HPUD. I've been told that we should expect their SAP in April for our review. And when that SAP comes forward, I am anticipating some requests from Heber to expand their SOI, their sphere of influence, which will require LAFCO to start engaging Calexico in the conversation and to try to get their SAP moving, because currently the area that I anticipate them wanting is in Calexico's sphere of influence currently. It's more around the
tip where they meet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which was the
where the trucking thing is, West Wind, that area. Yes. Because if you recall, some of those are in the sphere, but
the Calexico does like that's too far for us.
Unofficially, and before I thoroughly review it, I believe that stretch of corridor, the SOI from Calexico, is inappropriate for Calexico at this point. So. Yeah. So, okay, let's see.
Where?
I'm sure. So he's aware of this next project with the City of El Central. The City of El Central is working with us, RCAC, the State Water Resources Board, IID, and some others about a drinking water and sewer project for the general areas Cross and Via. It's 30 residential parcels and 126 residents in El Central's, mostly in El Central's SOI. They have failed septic systems and lack of clean water supply. So we're trying to get work together with these folks, funding, engineering reports, what have you, to provide those. I think the average income over there is like $28,000. So it's a underserved and poor community.
What was the address again? The location?
The Cross and Via.
It's over by Schwarzout Park.
Oh, yeah.
Where the PAL is, and if you continue on.
Yeah. Those little houses right there.
Via Avenue, which is one of the, it's San Diego, Magnolia, Eucalyptus, Via, you know, in that area. And then Crossroad is the data center. Pardon?
Data center?
Pardon?
Near the data center site, right?
No, you know what, because you're thinking, because Cross now extends on, and all those new
homes, I got you.
Extend all the way to Imperial.
Yeah.
You know, but it's still
perfect. Look at those old homes, the lines that go right on Cross, huh? They get that canal water and all that.
Yeah, it's canal water and.
I know which ones.
Yeah, they have monthly meetings on that, and once all the details are worked out, that would be coming for your approval to weigh in on the extension of service for all those properties. Okay, special district seating on LAFCO. On December 3rd, I met with 8 of the 12 independent special districts. The meeting with purpose was to gauge interest on the seating on the commission and the funding associated with participating on the commission. Trevor, currently the special districts don't sit on our commission. The majority of LAFCOs in the state do have the special districts sitting on the board. They're allowed to by CKH. There, in the past, there was never a consensus amongst the districts to be want to be seated, but there seems to be now. So we're working through that process with them. So out of that meeting, there was a general consensus that, yeah, they want to continue to move forward to see if eventually seating on this commission. They asked for an estimate of what the annual funding would be as the law sets now, how much of them would have to pay to be on the commission. So on January 7th, I sent that out along with a draft alternative funding agreement that was prepared by the IID. So next steps, they have all received that. A few of them had expressed interest about meeting to discuss the draft agreement. The draft agreement as it currently is written, IID would fund 100% of the special district's portion for a permanent seat and an alternate. And so that's where we stand on that. Questions?
Well, they're buying their seat.
Yeah. So I've had two members of the IID board and a candidate for the board come up to me and say, why are you guys trying to oppose us? You need our money.
We don't need your money.
And that's exactly what I told them. We don't need your money. And I go, what I want you to do is underground your canals, block off all your substations, make development safer for the community. And one of the board members goes, and who's going to pay for that, buddy? No, you are. So the entire point of these negotiations on IID's perspective is we're going to help you guys out. And I believe that's what they're telling the special district. So they're saying, look, we're helping LAFCO out and we're going to help you guys out by getting a seat on the LAFCO and an alternate seat. There's a lot of miscommunication going on right now. And I've spoken to two board members. The other one didn't answer. And both of which said they were opposed to joining LAFCO, but that they were told we need their money.
Really?
And I told them flat out, we don't need anything from you guys except these priorities. And they go, well, that's never going to happen. So the sentiment is the special districts are being deceived by IID. IID is buying a seat on LAFCO. And there's just so much going on. IID is taking advantage of the situation. And I think of the special districts. You said you met with 8 of 12. Aren't there 18 districts, special districts?
Those are independent. The ones that are under the county aren't okay. Part of that. It's the independent special districts.
And are you allowed to tell us of the 8 that you met with, how many of them were in support of the special districts joining?
I would say right now, if I were to take a straw poll, it'd be 100% of those that were there.
I'll tell you why. Because they don't have to pay for anything. And they're some of the
special districts. I didn't take an official vote. That's just from the conversations that we're having.
So I had a conversation with IID board members and asked, why are you so adamant on getting a seat at LAFCO? Well, we're tired of all the stuff that happened to us in Riverside County. I said, but
what happened?
Do you want the seat in Imperial County? Why don't you go get it in Riverside County? Oh, because we can't get a seat over there. But what is you getting a seat here have to do with Riverside County if your problems are up there? Oh, well, it just gets us a better handle on what's happening. I said, but
it's happening up there, not here. Ultimately, I know why. I'm not going to say it on microphone, but I can tell you why they want the seat, why the person wants the seat. But yeah, and them using ratepayer money to pay everybody's fees, that's not acceptable.
Yeah.
So
and then they hike up our rates.
Yeah, it's like me telling you know what, Calipat, we'll pick up the tab on everything for you.
Just give us the seat.
Okay.
That's where we stand. More
thank
to come.
For the update.
Yeah, yep. Thank you.
More
David, come. Anything? Come on, man. You're bleeding right here. It's coming down. no, you're biting your lip. Come on.
No, I mean, they're... I just hope it's done by the book, because I know they like to dictate to everybody else how things should go, when the reality is
they don't do the same.
This body is governed by a document that's approved through the state, and yep. That's kind of my comments about it.
When I do meet with them, I have our esteemed legal counsel with me, so he could.
I have no doubt that Steve and yourself are doing everything correctly. And
I don't know. You have anything to add about the meeting, or?
Well. I don't want to say their motivations don't count, but their motivations don't count. If they want to take whoever's money in return for a seat on LAFCO and they vote that way, they can do it.
Are there steps taken once they're established here that we have to take to kind of, I need to look back through the document before I have.
Well, I mean, there's a statutory scheme that allows them to get seats on the board, but once they're seated, they have all the voting rights and quorum requirements.
All we have to do is approve the funding mechanism, correct?
Nope. No, not even. Not the way it stands now. If they were in the, as an example, right now, in the past, there was an agreement that the districts would pay less than a third that is required. But you guys would be saving money because you're paying less than the 50%. Well, that would have to be approved by every city and the county, because it's affecting your funding.
So if we rejected it, if the cities and county rejected the funding.
That's the old scenario. The new scenario is they're going to pay the third per the CKH. So it's not affecting your funding at all. So I didn't explain that quite well.
Yeah. But,
I just think the district has a lot more priorities that they should be focused on.
They do. They should
just wasting effort and time and money on.
Yeah, just last year they were going across on a tour of the district saying that our infrastructure was failing, and now they want to pay a third of our dues. That's, I think, irrelevant to the conversation, and IAD should set their priorities straight.
I agree.
So is there a limit as to how many commissioners can sit on the left?
With special districts, it's 7 plus the alternates. So it's 5, and then one alternate for one special district alternate, just like there's one city alternate, one county alternate. Yeah.
So is there a potential in this scenario where IID gets both the main seat and the alternate seat?
Or that's in the agreement.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So they wouldn't even be giving another, like HPUD, the alternate seat.
Well, there's going to be 2 special district seats, permanent, regular seats.
Yes.
IID will have one of those. Alternate seat. And then the alternate, say, HPUD's on it and they're not available, then they would sit in there. At that meeting, they'd have 2 votes. Or if the Imperial IID person, just like here. Yeah.
Well, thank you for the update.
More to come.
Thank you.
Hope not.
Like a frustrated spy.
Okay, moving on. On May 6th through the 8th, there is the Cal LAFCO staff workshop. I am the co-lead of the planning committee. We are currently reviewing session ideas that have been submitted, and then we're going to meet and set up the whole program for the staff workshop. That's just an update on that.
Heads up, not to interrupt you, that May 6th through the 8th intersects with the SCAG.
This is for staff only. It's not commissioners. This is that's that our this is staff. The EOs and staff will attend the staff workshop, and it's more about the details of that type of thing.
Sorry about that.
I also wanted to report that we still have a vacant county seat. They're not here, and we need LAFCO needs official actions to appoint a regular an appointment. Otherwise, we're going to be in this situation until. Yeah. But I will relay that.
I did speak to Peggy on earlier this week about this. That they
were going to do it in this month, January.
Yeah, she said that I told her that they need to appoint somebody.
So the supervisors themselves in supervisors' chambers have to make that appointment.
Yeah.
I only know because they do it for they have a regular reorg coming, I believe, right? So
they already have reorg.
They already had
it.
Yeah. Thank you, sure.
Right, but they do chair appointments once that reorg is done.
So hopefully it's coming.
Hopefully it's in there.
Yeah. We just did ours last night.
Yeah. They just put it on a document, so they don't even discuss. So hopefully it's.
Miss Sylvia and the county, who's the master tax sharing agreement has expired. So we're currently back to zero tax sharing agreements between the county and cities. So it was only for a year.
That's right. You know, I just didn't expire when effective.
12/27. So just to putting that on your radar, I don't know if there's any annexations coming El Central's way. It could be with this cross and via, but.
I'll mention that to Sawyer.
Okay. Budget, that time of year again, we're starting to work on the budget. The process has started. The proposed budget will be put before you no later than April, and with a final budget adopted hopefully before June. Fresno, Imperial, Riverside, San Joaquin, we all did a joint RFP for auditing services. We put that out in October. And starting with the audit year 6/30/26, Vasquez and Company was the winning response. So we're working on a contract, we being LAFCO, Imperial LAFCO, with Vasquez. And once the details are finalized, we'll bring that back to you for approval. We're also working on a couple of policies that I want to present before you. I don't have them thoroughly worked through yet, so they're not ready. And we have a lot of other things going on, but those are the high level things. Any questions on anything? Okay, that's all I have.
Awesome.
I thought we were going through 7 different agenda items, but it was just your report.
Yeah,
that's okay with all of them except one.
Like, when did we approve an addendum?
Thank you very much, Tyler. Appreciate that for the concise report. Let's start with commissioner announcements, and I know start on this end. Tag?
I have nothing to know.
Welcome aboard.
Welcome.
Welcome.
You're like, did I do the right thing?
I know it sounds like a touchy subject. The way IID holds water in trust for the ag community and thus for our entire economy down in our valley is something, and I don't mean to sound rude, but there's only about 25 or 26 of us in this entire valley that really understand the nuances of the legalities of that and what is going on right now. I have similar sentiments, so I don't want to mislead, but given the publicity of stuff like this, it might favor us to just understand a little bit about the legalities of the water on the river, as our water rights and that trust is literally not only being negotiated, but has the potential to go to the Supreme Court. In fact, it's a very high percentage. So really nothing to do with LAFCO, with the exception of the fact of what our service district is. Remember, as a public utility, it's one of very few that's both power and water together in one. And so to just educate ourselves to make proper decisions going forward. One has nothing to do with what goes on here, but I've spent the last 12 years of my life understanding the nuance of all of it, and it's probably one of the most complicated situations you have. So I'd like to try to kind of more offer that than anything else. I don't have an opinion on the special districts at this point. I'm more just listening, but I do want to offer the water rights themselves because it's very easy for them to go away. And if they do, everything goes away. That's a reality.
Thank you.
That's all.
Rukin, anything?
Finally reorganized, as you probably saw. You know, this is like, so we've got a new mayor in place. we have on the fun part of it, you know, we have our Mardi Gras celebrations coming up, you know, so it's like, so we've had to postpone the selection of the king and queen. So we extended the application deadline to next Monday. And so we'll have that celebration next month, excuse me. And as you've noticed, the new lights on Imperial Avenue. Okay, so the one at just flashing red for the meantime, and it'll be officially on starting tomorrow. Okay, so then we have two other like flashing beacons that are at Holt and Imperial and Barbara Worth and Imperial. So those are going to be interesting. This is something new, and they're only going to be in effect when somebody pushes the button to cross the street. Okay, so you know, it's like a warning signal with the yellow light, and then once the red lights turn on, then that's all traffic has to stop. Mm-hmm. So to allow the person to cross, and those will only be activated when someone pushes the button to cross the street. Can you imagine? I mean, those are really close in proximity,
they are.
And the backup mm-hmm. that it would cause in terms of if it were a full-fledged traffic.
Well, obviously that was a design aspect of it, but what was the meaning behind that one?
Because there was a lot of people jaywalking at Pepper. Well, that one at Pepper and Imperial, that was a necessity because of people that work in the medical facility.
Busy there.
Yeah.
A lot of jaywalking there, and they were really putting themselves at risk. Okay. And the one here at the new flashing beacon at Barbara Worth, because again, a lot of jaywalking.
The DMV.
DMV, I mean, look at that place, is always like this. So that's what's been going on. You know, those that affect the immediate
flow of traffic.
Residents and anybody, you know, that travels through that corridor on a regular basis, you know, so just so that people will be alert to the fact that we have new stoplights and new warnings. So that's what's going on.
Well, then.
All right, well, for the city of Calipatria, does not have any stoplights.
You don't?
No.
it's okay. Don't put them. They're expensive.
Yeah. Got a flagpole.
We have the flagpole. There we go. I told the city manager we should put our next flagpole 100 feet above sea level just to try to double it. But I know I chewed you guys' ear out last week at the League of Cities dinner, but just to reiterate, we have...
You chewed us out?
I didn't chew you guys out, but I talked for a good...
Oh, okay.
Not as much as Calexico, but...
not as much as El Centro.
Not as much as... but so
we... Mean pages for El Centro. 14.
In the city of Imperial, do you remember? Page one, page two.
Don't have one.
But we did reorganize. We don't have a new mayor, for better or worse. I was reelected a second year. And we have a new mayor pro tem, Fred Beltran. About over $1.5 million in grants we received the last few months. We're pushing through the pipeline, a new Vector truck, wastewater infrastructure, roads, pretty much it.
So I like to say I missed those League of City meetings, but I'd be lying.
Yeah, well, the food's good. We went to the town pump.
Oh, that's
but always, the speeches.
That was the good one. That was the good one.
Walker and Driscoll.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
You could have invited me, sir.
Anytime you want to come.
You know which one I enjoy? The one.
Welcome.
I enjoy the one at the Rustic.
The Rustic Bar was really nice.
Like that.
Yeah.
How do you enjoy it there?
Because it's hidden.
We have privacy.
It's just us. And when I say us, it's just the cities. There's no other public. There's no other venue. It's right in the center.
It's quiet. You know, we get something different. We get tacos or whatever they cater that day. That's what I mean. Yeah, there you go. Well, thank you, Mr. Salgado.
No, nothing to report today. But I will say, you know, thank you, Trevor, for making the offer on water education. I'm going to take you up on that. And yeah. I would love to pick your brain about how to get a dog to behave that well, too, because mine does not.
She spends a lot of time doing stuff.
I would be all over the place right now trying to find something to play with.
Thank you.
Yeah. How about on this side, Lori?
Ma'am? Nothing? Sir?
Wishing you all a great 2026.
Thank you. As for me, I just want to remind everybody about today's General Assembly for ICTC. That's going on. Hope to see you guys there. Imperial, we still got a couple little things going on there in town. A lot of construction, a lot of things going. P Street will be done end of February. So be careful with that one. Right now, it'll knock your feelings out. But other than that, definitely wish you guys a good 2026.
One more thing to add, and this is going to be my entire report. And then Sylvia started talking about El Centro, so I felt obligated to talk about Calipat. But today is my partner's birthday, 21 years old.
Nice.
We're actually going to head out to Julian after this.
Nice. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday,
Terry. Good. Julian. I'm trying to remember what's in Julian.
The pie place.
Up the pie.
Yeah, yeah. But there's another place.
There's a couple burger places. Yeah, there's two shops.
There's a little restaurant bar next behind the Julian Pie Company. Yeah.
Fun fact on Julian, my wife's great great grandfather founded Julian.
Good.
Yeah. The Baileys. Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
That was awesome. Well, with that, if there's not any other comments, I'll adjourn this meeting until the next one. Thank you.
All right.
Literally, I didn't think so.